brothers in Congo.
And of the teaching on the articles of faith.
Thank you, Stefan. Our brothers in Congo did photocopy this, as I was sharing earlier with Dave. For example, they would be in the city, Goma, and then they would go with the Jesus film equipment somewhere in the jungle, a bit further away, where there is no photocopy machines. And then after the Jesus film, they would disciple people with those tools. But it would be black and white photocopies. I also was telling Colleen that some women also had their districts print on the material, piece of material, textile, the articles of faith, because the mamas in some parts of Africa, they would wrap around their clothes, like an apron to keep things clean. They would wrap around the piece of material, and then when they would meet other ladies, they would evangelize, share their faith, teach the other women theology. It's theology, I mean, we speak about God, and they would put it on the ground, and then they would show them, you know. So there are many ways you can use those articles of faith. You can even have mugs, t-shirts, I mean, and people might ask you, what is this t-shirt about? Oh, let me tell you. So find ways that are creative, but just to say, colors are helpful, and it helps us remember, you know, to symbolize holiness, purity, and so forth. But it's the pictures help us as well, for sure, even more, to make sure that we have this mental peg, as I said, like to hang something on it, a meaning on it. So we did 8-1. I would like to ask, before we start, since everyone was not here at the beginning when we were playing already around, if someone, if two persons would volunteer, one would do 1-4, and the other 4-8. Who would like to volunteer? Chesi? And who else? Who would like to volunteer for 5-8? 5-8. Okay. Thank you, Betsy. So.
Well, we have the yellow triangle that symbolizes the Triune God. And then on the left is Jesus Christ, who's represented with the man. And on the right, it's the Holy Spirit, represented with the dove and the flame, both scripture visions.
Super.
And then the fourth is the scripture, which is represented with an open book.
Excellent. Thank you.
Five is represented by an apple bitten on both sides, representing original and personal sin. And the apple is at the foot of the cross, which is number 6 and represents the atonement of Christ. And then out of the atonement, there is the gift of prevenient grace, which is number 7. A grace that goes before us is free for us to accept and receive. Number 8 is repentance, which is represented by an arrow that is representing us turning around.
Super.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Let's continue with, let me put the mic on. Okay. Number 9. So number 9, and it's not easy to see, Abigail, as you were mentioning earlier. We're not sure if it was number 8 or 9, but number 9 are 3 things that happen at the same time. So our part is repentance, that's the part we have to do. And God then acts on our behalf in 3 different ways, and they happen at the same time. We have the image of, I don't know the name in English, mallet. Mallet?
Yeah.
Oh, a gavel. Sorry, in French it's mat. It's okay. It's the judge's gavel. Thank you, Stefano. The gavel, thank you. The judge's gavel. Then we have a little baby, as you see, newborn, sucking his thumb. And then the third image is a dad with his little boy walking. So the first image, the gavel of the judge, is for justification. Because when we repent for our sins, from our sins, we ask for forgiveness to God, and we repent from our sins, God justifies us. He's like the judge who says, you are forgiven, you are not guilty anymore. And then what happens at the same time, excuse me, we are born again. We are spiritually born again, and it's called regeneration. Merci, Stéphane. Regeneration, and it's a little baby, a newborn baby. So born again is the same word. And then the third image for adoption, and this happens at the same time, what God does on our behalf, He justifies us. We are born again from the Holy with the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and making us new, forgiving us. And then the third part is adoption, which is a little boy and his dad, because we become part of God's family. We're adopted into the family of God. So it happens at the same time. And this is on God's part. It's God's part on our behalf. Once we repent. And once we accept the gift of pity and grace. So, so let us say together, nine. Justification. Justification. Regeneration. Adoption. Rachel, may I ask you number nine? What is the picture for justification?
The gavel.
The gavel. What is the picture for regeneration?
The baby.
The baby. And what is the picture for adoption?
The fatherless
child. Fatherless child, super. And would you feel comfortable saying them, the three together? Like can, if you would not look at them?
Yeah.
You can also...
Regeneration, adoption. Just confusion, regeneration, adoption.
And what are the... So if you have the images in mind, you can... what... Can you see the three images?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the...
Okay. A gavel and a baby, second thumb, and the father and the child.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the three words related to Article 9?
Justification, regeneration, and adoption.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It's not an easy one, huh? 3 points that happen at the same time. So, number 10, and sometimes in our Christian walk, we stop at number 9. Sometimes we stop at number 9. We say, okay, I have asked for forgiveness to God, I repented from my sins, I'm justified, I'm born again, I'm adopted, I'm part of God's family. And then we stop there. But the truth is if we stop there, we are immature Christians. We are immature Christians because we are called to grow deeper in Christ's likeness, in God's love. And that's why article number 10 is so important. Article number 10 is holiness and entire sanctification. Because holiness is us being united completely with God. Is made we are made mature in our walk with God. We are walking in obedient faith and in love. So, and it's a heart, because the Holy Spirit comes and fills our hearts as we give ourselves completely to God. Because the truth is, when we are new Christians, or you know, Christians for a time, we realize that yes, the excitement as we grow in Christ and we become Christians, but then we realize bit by bit that actually there are quite a few areas in our lives that God is asking us to submit to Him that needs God's visitation. There is a need of we call it in French evangelization of the depth, évangélisation des profondeurs. Like our deep, deep selves have to be evangelized. The gospel has to be brought deeper in our lives. So that's why there's a heart with a dove, the Holy Spirit, and fire. The Holy Spirit coming to our lives, cleansing us from all sin, and allowing us to give to God as we walk with God. You know, as a little child, number 9, adoption, is walking with God, His Heavenly Father. God is asking us to, as obedient children, to submit our lives more and more to Him. And as children trusting our Heavenly Father, we do so. We are, because we trust Him, we know He's good. And so when God asks us, this habit, I think it's not good for you, for your spiritual growth, Sandra. Maybe you should stop this or that. And knowing that God knows me and has the best in mind for me, I will hopefully gladly submit and allow the Lord to continue to visit me. It's like the story, I'm sure you have heard of it, of a house where Jesus comes and he wants to, you invite him, he never, you know, knocks down the door or breaks down. No, he is a gentleman. But as you invite him in bit by bit, he will also want to visit your whole house, if you can say. So room after room he will visit. and come in. And so article number 10 is holiness and entire sanctification. There was a time where it was only holiness, the title, but...
Only entire sanctification.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for the contrary. Only entire sanctification, but holiness is important to write the both. Does anyone have an idea why holiness and entire sanctification are important to be mentioned together at this point? Any idea?
With a moment. And holiness is a journey too, so
super.
All of it.
Thank you very much. Exactly. Because entire sanctification is a moment where we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, and the Lord responds by setting us apart for Him. He comes and fills our lives even more completely. But then, it's like if we would stop there, we would not grow. I mean, we would say, yes, years ago I was visited by the Lord, and that's it. No, God is asking us, like in repentance and the Christian life that we began, to continue to walk with Him. So holiness is a daily walk, is a moment by moment giving up of ourselves to the Lord. So that's why it's holiness and entire sanctification, or we could say entire sanctification, the moment, and holiness, the journey. That's article number 10. So what was article number 10 again, without looking at your pages?
Holiness.
And what is the picture?
The heart.
The Holy Spirit. Excellent. So it's the same. Did you see Malachi, the dove in the heart? The heart in number 10, it has the same Holy Spirit than in number 3, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit that comes into our heart. So it's the Holy Spirit. It's not any kind of spirit. It's the Spirit of God. Super. And what is number 9 again? Who would be comfortable to tell me number 9? Any volunteers? You like, okay?
It's three pictures.
Three pictures.
The gavel,
super.
And the newborn baby with the tongue in the mouth and the father and the son walking. It's justification.
Justification.
Regeneration
and adoption. Super. Another word for regeneration, an easier word, what would it be? Who remembers?
Born again.
Super. Thank you so much. What did you say?
10.
Oh, and 10, yes, please. Go for it.
It's heart with the Holy Spirit inside, the dove and flame, and it's wholeness and entire sanctification.
Super. Wholeness and entire sanctification. Excellent. Are we ready to?
I will adopt this.
You adopted?
I will adopt.
Excellent.
This particular way.
I like to say excellent. Stefan says it's stupid. And I said it's excellent. Thank you. If you feel comfortable to turn your pages. And if you're comfortable. And I will start with Stefan, like 1, 2, 3, and so forth, you know. So, article number 1.
Triangle, number 1, triangle, yellow for the color of remaining us of God.
Thank you.
A man.
2. Can you say the article number?
2. Jesus, a man bowing, praying on the left.
Excellent.
Number 3, Holy Spirit, a dove with a blazing spirit behind it in the bottom right corner of the triangle.
Thank you.
4, Holy Scriptures with the open book, and that's the bridge between the triune God and...
5, sin, both personal, well, original and personal, and it's a fruit with 2 bites.
Excellent.
Under a cross, which is...
we are learning, we are together, it's fun actually.
Number 7 is provenient grace, a gift.
Seven.
Okay.
Number is the arrow that is repentance.
What kind of arrow is it?
A
U-turn arrow. Excellent. Daniel?
7. I have 9.
Yes.
9 is this 3 parts something.
God's action.
And three symbols, gavel, meaning, this is not vindication.
It's okay. Can anyone help her? Would you like help?
Not vindication, but...
Justification.
Justification. Excellent.
Yes,
good.
Justification. And second image is a little baby sucking tongue. Yes, a newborn.
Yes.
Presenting newborn Christian or regeneration of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is an image of a father taking his little son to walk. And it's talking, this image talks about adoption.
Very good.
Christians being adopted by
Thank you. That's excellent. Thank you, Dalia. So 9, 10, Roberta.
Holiness and entire sanctification, represented by a heart with a dove in it and the flame representing the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. And we come back to number 1. Dave?
1 is the yellow triangle representing the triangle in yellow.
And as people are saying the numbers, try it in your own minds to remember the number, the name, the image. You know, we are reviewing. It helps to how do you say, accentuate. Super.
And 2 is Jesus Christ on the lower left hand side of the triangle. I have a man kneeling, submitting himself to the Father, and also praying, submitting himself.
Thank you, Hannah. Good job. Very good. Very good. Number 4.
Number 4 represents the Holy Scripture. It is the Bible.
Yes.
Good.
5. Gil.
Apples, sin, original, and personal.
Thank you. 6, Belu.
Number 6 is represented by the cross, the atonement.
Yes, that's it.
That's it.
7. Yes. Wrapped up good, that we need to unpack, right? You see that it helps a little thing. Thank you. Number 8, Chazzy.
Number 8.
Number 8 is like this.
Oh, the
crazy
arrow.
Yeah.
The arrow. That's repentance.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. It's not easy.
Yes.
But it's good because we learn together. Number 9.
I'm gonna try number 9. Is justification, and I forget the, oh, gavel.
Yes, yes.
And rebirth or regeneration.
Yes, yes.
And adoption.
Yes.
Adoption.
So
one child, the father of the child, the baby.
Excellent.
And we have a picture of 2 mothers.
That is funny, actually. Thank you, Sarah.
That's how you involve all your body learning.
Exactly. Maybe we should all walk. Number 10. The moment and the journey, or the journey and the moment. Excellent, yeah.
Just the heart with the dove and the flame.
Yes, thank you very much. So it's entire sanctification. We don't want to get too technical, but sanctification happens already when we receive the Holy Spirit. We are sanctified. We're already, how do you say, the Holy Spirit is already coming into us. So I think they call it initial sanctification, technical term. So entire sanctification. And it's the craziness of God's prevenient grace and grace to say that not only are we born again, but God has made us capable of Him, as I like to say. He makes us capable of being filled by His Holy Spirit and completely filled, so that we don't even want to be distant from Him anymore. As we said, sin is to have distance with God. You can even imagine with the hand, like distance with God. But holiness brings us because of the atonement of Christ, holiness is actually bringing us closer to God, and we are able to walk with God as Abraham walked with God, talked with God, listened to him, as our Lord Jesus Christ actually did as well. And so holiness is our goal, the journey, I should say. It's not a norm, like, you know, we are not in the legal things, but it's a dynamic walk with the Lord. And you can say that, as you already see the little boy in number 9 at the, in adoption, God's action on our behalf, once we ask for forgiveness and repent, what he does, adoption, it's a little boy walking, because the Christian faith is not a static faith. It's not like I was saved 13 years ago, as you know. It's I'm being saved, I'm continuing to walk. So hopefully those pictures will help you as you meditate on them, and as you allow others to say, where are you here? Are you, okay, did you receive prevenient grace? Did you receive grace? Did you open that gift? Did you receive it? Or did you say, no, I'm not worthy of it? So you're actually leaving it there at the feet of Jesus, not opening that gift? Or are you still struggling with repentance? Do you know that you're adopted by God? So you can, you know, we can ask questions to people, and it helps us to see even our journey, and to realize where are we at. And the good news is that at any point, the cross of Christ is not like once we are, you know, put apart, set apart for Christ, entirely sanctified, that the cross is now irrelevant. No, the cross is part of all this journey, and you always come back to it, because repentance is something we always need in our Christian lives, whatever the maturity of our walk with the Lord. Okay, any questions or observation so far? Are you happy?
I think the boy should have been blonde.
The boy should have been blonde?
Yeah, but he's adopted.
He's adopted.
He looks the exact same.
He looks like his dad, yeah. That's a good point. And unless you are adopted to be Christ-like. Like,
yes,
yeah.
And then you look like Jesus.
Then you look like Jesus. But you see, this is fun, because then maybe a child or an adult says, wait a minute, he should have been blonde. And then you can come up with, like, but we're called to be Christ. I mean, it's very imperfect, of course, huh? Every image has limits, and even explanations have limits. But it's a fun way to interact with that tool. What did you say? Adopted from the same country? Yeah.
Just ask one, sorry.
Yes, please.
We go back to way back to number 1.
Yes,
so
number 1.
The triune God. And,
yes.
How do you find it helpful? Now you're looking at the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you use the Holy Spirit, using the terminology of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
How do you incorporate that when, you know, if it's talking about a triune God and looking at the Trinity? What's the best way that you discover this? Bringing
very good
the terminology
question.
Of the Father.
May I ask you to answer that with the Father? Thank you.
It's a good question, because if we want a perfect symmetry, for me as a scientist, I thought, why did they not say triune God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That was a question I had. Indeed, the Father is integrated in articles of faith in the triune God. So you can teach saying triune God, and you can think of the God creator there. If you look at the website to the one I did for the basic Christian beliefs,
okay,
you will see Creator, Word, and Spirit, I think, which is a way to relate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which can be one way. So our articles of faith are imperfect. If you want technical perfection, I agree with you, the symmetry is imperfect, because we should have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, let's say the first one integrates both the triangle and the Father. Does it help, Steve?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Any other question, observation?
Thank you. Okay. So now, let's go to the second line. And can you tell me, can anyone tell me if you see any groupings? So we saw first groupings, 1, 2, 3, 4 by itself, 5 to 10 together. What other groupings do you see?
11 to 14.
Mm-hmm. What else? That's it? 15 by itself, 16 by itself?
Yeah, the kind of, we don't see any connections, like, you know, on the graphic, like, you know, 5 is with 6, with 7, so it's more, but it does, I mean, it goes together, but it's less evident. There's the gavel again, exactly, and the gavel, as you see, is almost under the first gavel, kind of, but, and there's a flame, yeah. So let's look at together at those articles. Article number 11, article of faith number 11 in the Church of Nazarene is for the church, symbolized by, oh, I don't see a church building. Okay. So if you look closer, the structure is made out of people. The stones are living stones. And there are people. What are the people doing? Abigail or Joshua? Hannah or Malachi? What are the people doing in those stones? They're holding hands. You have an idea why? There is no wrong answer. What would you say? What did you say, Chesi? Community?
They are number 12, right?
We are number 11 for the moment. Number 11, the people. Can you see the people? They are different colors. Yes, maybe they're praying too. They're holding hands, they're praying. Because in the church is not a building, it's really people, right? The people make the church. We are the church. Very good. And so, as you see, there are also two levels. If you look at the different stones, there is a first level of people who are holding hands with others, okay? So this is us today, like here today, we are brothers and sisters in communion with one another. We are praying together, as Malachi said, we are worshipping God together, we are walking together, all this. So we have fellow Christians, but then we have people under us, the stones, you know, under us. And so those are the people who have prayed for us, who have brought us to God, who have exemplified Christ-like discipleship, who have been witnesses of God's grace. So the people under the other people are the people who prayed for you and who helped you to want to know Jesus better and to love God. And then the people above are the people that you are praying for, right? So you have people who helped you to grow as a Christian, who brought you to God. There are people with whom you are walking. And then above you, you have people that you are kind of, how do you say, not pushing to God, because you don't have this power, but you are holding up to God. You are praying for them. You are encouraging them, right? So, you know, this is what happens in the church. We walk with other fellow believers. We disciple others. We are discipled also. So it's dynamic. And I have a question again for Hannah and Malachi, Abigail, and Joshua. You have to tell Uncle Stefan, he forgot to put a stone. That, isn't there something missing?
Abigail said, because we have this in the church we go to, but it's also in other churches. Then she said it was bothering her so much. Why is one not missing?
Why is one missing? I mean, did you forget the stone, Uncle Stefan?
Oh, thank you. I did not see it.
What would you say? Maybe there is a lost sheep. Yes, I mean, there is no wrong answer.
But we're not perfect. God's perfect.
You can say this. God is perfect, the church is perfect. What would be another idea? Why is there a missing stone?
Is that Jesus, the idea of Jesus, that coming back again, or, I don't know,
the cornerstone?
As a human, he's not like, he's God.
You can go as deep as you want, but really, it's good. But on a very simple level, there is in Africa there is a proverb, and those Carol would have been, she would have also known that, having been in Africa for a little time, I believe. When you take a taxi in Africa, in the big continent of Africa, we have they have the little minibuses, and it's usually a number of people that are allowed to get in there, like maybe 14 people, but usually there are a bit more than 14 people. So the proverb is, there is always place for one more.
Yeah.
So So one more. So as you were saying, the lost sheep, there's in the church, there's space for one more. It's not like, it's sorry, the club is complete, you cannot come in anymore. No. Other people are also welcome to join the church. So there's still someone who is missing. And on the other hand, you can also say that if you don't play your part as a Christian, if you don't use the gifts that God has given you, then something is missing in the church. Does it make sense? So it's incomplete. You are saying of imperfection. The church is incomplete. If every one of us plays our part, the church is complete. If we say, no, I'm a Christian, but really I don't have talents or gifts, you know, I'm just a cook, then be the cook, because God needs you in his body. And so this morning was a wonderful example. When I fell, I had the church in action, because I had the helper, and I had the encourager, and I had the prayer person. Everyone was around me, you know, taking care of my foot, and I felt very much blessed, because I thought, if one is hurting, everyone is hurting. So I thought, this is a beautiful example. So thank you for having been at my side in this little, not very, you know, serious time, but still, I felt very much loved by through your compassion. So, number 11, the church. Okay, 11, the church. 11, the church. Super. And what do you see above the church? There's a cross. It's the body of Christ. It's the community of believers gathering around Jesus, right? So, what are the three things? There are more things that we do. There are many things we do at church, but there are three important things we do in church or as a church. We baptize new believers. So number 12, baptism. We take together the Lord's Supper. We share the bread and the wine, the bread and the juice, grape juice, as the Lord told us to do in remembrance of him, the Lord's Supper. And then 14, divine healing, which means we pray for one another. When someone is sick, we are encouraged to pray for one another. And if it's to go to the doctor, we pray the doctor would help the person in need, that the Lord would give the person wisdom to know how to help. But we also believe in divine intervention, like God can directly, and we pray for that as well. As believers, we come together and we pray that God will directly heal the person, okay? Number 12, what is the picture? Someone being baptized. Number 13, what is the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Good job. And 14? Oh, the cup? The bread and cup? Very good, Malachi. And then 14? See, I have a cup. I'm sorry, Matthew, what did you say? 14?
A person praying for a sick person.
Yeah, there's someone laying on the bed. And very good. So, let's repeat together. 12, baptism. 12, baptism. 13, Lord's Supper. 14, divine healing. Does anyone have an idea how to remember those three? Because how do you put them together? Like, what is 12, what is 13, what is 14? Do you have a little memory trick as you look at it? BCD, what did you say, BSD?
BCD, going up the alphabet.
So what would C be C for?
Communion.
Communion, excellent, thank you. Baptism, communion, divine healing, BCD, excellent. So this could be a very good. Oh, yes, you can tell. Roberta is a scientist. Yes. That's excellent.
It's a little bit of progression. Like,
yes.
So baptism is kind of something you would do at the beginning of your journey, and then after you're baptized, then you will have the Lord's Supper. And then, you know, praying for divine healing can be something you would do as a bit of more mature Christian.
Absolutely, as more mature Christian.
A bit of a progression.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So you see how even with pictures, we can speak of theology, we can make people think and think together what happens, you know, in progression. Gil?
I was kind of thinking of a sandwich, actually. A BLD.
Oh, my goodness.
Bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
And divine healing.
Excellent. I mean, if you have fun, we might remember it because it's funny, right? Excellent.
It's
safety sex.
Sacraments. By making up the Lord's Supper. The divine healing is not the part of the official sacrament, but
yes,
as a sacrament.
They are absolutely excellent. Again, you know, you can. Yes, it's
a
means of grace. I mean, it's ways that God manifests himself through the church. Through the people. So do you see how deep we can go just with pictures? Because we think about them and super. So shall we turn? Shall we cover? And let's try to do 11, 13, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then we can move to 15, 16. Then would you like to start with 11, please?
11 is the church. And the image is a building formed by people, living stones. One stone is missing. And it on top is the cross, which means it's body of Christ, the church.
Thank you very much. Excellent. So teacher Renu, who are you now? quizzing.
Dave.
Yes.
Number 12.
12 is, let's see. Oh,
the progression?
Yeah.
Excuse us.
Sorry about that.
You're fine? We are learning.
Well, it's one of the things I feel when we first get saved and we should be getting baptized as a representation of going from the new life, from the old life to the new life.
Excellent. So. Super. Perfect. And become members.
Becoming a member of a community.
That's a very good point, important point. We become members of the body of Christ by being introduced into the family through baptism. So, excellent. So, this is really an entry point. We can remember 12. Thank you. Yeah. Teacher? So Dave, who are you quizzing?
Well,
you can quiz him.
I can choose him. What teacher, how's that? Number
13? Number 13 will be the Lord's Supper with the cup and the bread, because the Lord's Supper is celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus by doing what he told us to do. Yeah.
And here you see another link, the baptism. To be baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. The Lord's Supper is to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. Sorry. So you can see all those links that you start doing just with pictures. Thank you, Stefan.
And this continual remembrance.
And this continual remembrance.
Making him alive.
That's beautiful. Wow.
Student Jonathan. Number 14.
Student.
Good job. Good picture.
So, at this point, you know, the picture sometimes I get a bit more fuzzy because sometimes the meaning has been put more in the progression, so it has helped us. Sometimes it's the picture which helps us. But the good thing is with pictures you can go back and forth. So who would like to do back and forth, 14 to 11? Would you like to choose someone? Teacher Jonathan, or maybe you want to do it? Okay, gladly.
So from divine healing as 14, represented by a woman praying for a sick person.
Sorry about that. No problem.
Lord's Supper, represented by bread and cup, and then 12, baptism.
Yes.
Everything is happening in 11, church, body of Christ, which is imperfect but signified by cross of Christ, and then we have a problem.
Excellent.
And then we go
back
all the way back to 10, which is holiness and entire sanctification, and then 9, complicated. So justification, regeneration, and adoption, signified by 3 pictures. Baby and son, father and son walking together.
Very good.
8, turning point, turning arrow, making, let's see, I'm missing the word, repentance. repentance, and before repentance, we received grace.
Mm-hmm.
In a form of gift, free gift of God, arising from a cross of atonement, crushing the apple of original and personal sin. And before that, we have 4 Holy Scriptures bridging from walk of human
yes.
with God. Going back to God, which is presented by by 3 Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and Triune God.
Good job. Huh? Did you were you able to look at the pictures?
Yes,
it
yes,
does help. Huh?
I didn't want to use that much time.
That's fine. But in your mind, were you looking? Mm-hmm. Were you having? Were you remembering the pictures?
Mm-hmm.
That was helped you, I guess, to
yes,
go back and forth.
Definitely, yeah.
Because pictures, they don't have, they're not linear, they're just pictures.
Yeah.
They're not like words, you
and
know.
They are very helpful.
They are very helpful. They're imperfect pictures, but they're helpful. So, excellent. Thank you very much. I would like, to, at this point, just to make you aware of something. When you look at 5, sin, original and personal, so 6, the atonement crushed sin. So did it crush only personal sin at this point?
Original.
And original. So how is that possible? How did the cross of Christ, how is it a remedy also for original sin? Because that's what the picture shows, right? The picture is also, it's crushing the whole apple, not just Jesus, not just forgiving our personal sin, it seems, if someone asks you, but it seems that, so atonement is also a remedy for the original sin?
Is that the already but not yet part of the theology where it will be fulfilled in the coming of Christ? So it has already happened, but it's fulfilled later. So that's the part of the original sin.
Absolutely. What about the Article 10?
The original sin has separated us from God.
Yes.
But the cross came and reconnected us. It crushed original sin. It separated us, but now we are reconnected with God.
Amen.
Through the cross.
So both of your answers, they are together. But it's very deep. I mean, when you realize that, you're like, wow. It's not only our personal. It's already big that God would forgive us our personal sin. We are thankful for that, and all the sins we commit, as we walk imperfectly on this earth, but to know that God has also, in Jesus, provided a cure for our original sin, because sin is to be separated from God, and so holiness is to walk with God, is to be reunited with Him in a way that we can walk as Jesus walked, walking with God, listening to Him, obeying and loving Him with our whole heart. So I think it's noteworthy to stop at this, number 5 and to mention it. Because some people, this is big news for some people, which means we don't have, to have this kind of yo-yo life where, I fall and I get back, I fall and I get back. But at one point, the Lord Jesus helps me as I repent, as He empowers me with the Holy Spirit to walk in holiness, to work
the best I can, but with his help, hopefully, without choosing to sin, without choosing to be separated from him. So this is good news. This is amazing news, even. So I praise God for little helps like these, where you realize the full potential of the cross of Christ.
And we do not have to have those silly discussions anymore about who was guilty, or
That's a good point.
To think in this kind.
Yes, it's Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
The double apple bite.
And you can say the double apple bite is also Adam and Eve. That's a very good point.
Adam was also mistaken when he accepted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adam was next to Eve when she took a bite. She handed to him the fruit, and he also bit in it.
The bigger bite is Adam's.
What?
Then Eve said, it's yummy, and Adam said, oh yeah.
That's so funny.
The small bite is Adam and Eve, and the big bite is all of us.
So we can have fun, and we learn, actually, right? As we are having fun and you know, together giving meaning to those images, we're actually doing theology together. You know, thinking together what it means to be a Christian people. Number 15 is second coming of Christ. We believe that the Lord Jesus will come again, and so that's why we have this clouds and the Lord Jesus in his resurrected appearance, if you can say. So 15, second coming of Christ. 15, second coming of Christ. And what is the image? So, and there's a text which says, he will come again on the clouds. Daniel?
Daniel
4. Thank you. Anyone wants to read Daniel 4? You have your Bible with you, if you don't mind. And it will help us strengthen the Bible also here in the bag. Thank you. Is it 419? Mm-hmm. Whoever has the text first, if you could read it first.
419?
I believe.
Then. And Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or his dream
no, this one.
Is this the right one?
Called Daniel, the
son of Israel, was 23. Your Majesty, it's a holy one. A messenger coming down. That one?
It's a continuation.
Oh, 23, sorry, I thought it was 19.
No, it was 19, but it continues.
It's 23, keep reading. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, guys, thank you.
No, you.
23. Yeah, okay. 23 says, Your Majesty saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree. And
that's not right. No. I'm so sorry.
I'm confused. 8:13, something like, I would guess 8:13.
If you look in the manual.
which one are we
looking at the vision of Daniel, seeing the Son of Man coming back on the cloud.
I saw in the night vision, and behold, all like the Son of Man came following the clouds.
He's singing about it.
Yes.
So which chapter, please?
It's 7:11.
7:11.
Can you read it again?
We should remember it.
7:11.
Can you read it again?
Can you read it again, please?
I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came on the Ancient of Days, and they brought him here before him.
It's 11 in Arabic. It's 13 in English. 13 in
English.
It's 11 in Arabic.
Oh, yeah.
11 is different. In
Oh my
God, it is 13
also.
Because
I was like putting
11.
Oh, so for you it's
13
as well. Okay,
13,
7:13.
Okay, so is that the Bible verse we're looking for?
Yeah.
7:13. 7:13. 7:13. What? Can you read until 14, Colleen, please?
It'll be Adam read.
In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Coming from the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. And dominion is an everlasting dominion. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
This is
7:14. That's 13
and 14. You can note also, Sandra, for instance, Matthew 24, verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30.
Revelation 1:7
also says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen.
1:7
1:7
Thank you. That's great. We are doing a Bible study together, so we are just, you know, learning the articles of faith, but at the same time we are trying to remember to quiz our knowledge of the Bible and remembering all the promises of the return of Christ. Thank you very much for participating with helping with that. 16, Article 16, there are three, kind of one, two, three images, three layers, if you can say. What is the first layer? What is the first word?
Resurrection.
So what is the picture for resurrection? Roberta, do you see? I think it's a bit. Resurrection, it's someone resurrecting, and it's actually, it looks like almost the picture before, but it's a person, maybe a woman, and she is on the clouds, and her garment is kind of grayish, or, but it's not Christ, huh? But it's someone resurrecting. You're right, Roberta. And 15, what is 15, Roberta? 16, sorry, the second layer. I'm sorry.
Another
gavel. Yes? Destiny, do you have two pictures for destiny? Heaven and hell. Because the golden gates. So destiny, it's an imperfect image, you know. Thank you so much, Roberta. But destiny is, okay, let's start with the first image. When we are resurrected, when the Lord Jesus comes again, we are all going to be taken up into heaven, right? And then we'll be judged according to what we did on earth or not do. And we will be judged. And the Lord will judge us, and we will either, and so our eternal destiny will be either to be with Christ forever. So this is the golden gate with the angels, you know, come into my kingdom. Or if we chose not to accept Christ, and we pushed him away repeatedly after because he's inviting us constantly, unfortunately, we are also going to be away from him, apart from him, in heaven. So this is hell, actually. To be away from God is hell, because we don't want to be away from him. And it's a sad reality, but we have to speak about it as well, because we have this power to choose. Our will is a gift of God. And we can be lame, crippled, very young, very old, we can be not very intelligent, we can be bright, whatever. We can be very busy. Whatever stages we are and conditions, our will is our greatest gift. And no one can take away our will to choose God, to choose good. God will help us to walk daily in his ways. But our will is powerful. And I say this especially to my younger brothers and sisters, Abigail and Joshua, because No one can take, and of course Malachi and Hannah, no one can take away your will. And the Lord Jesus pleases him when you choose him, when you say, I choose to love you. I choose to bring peace when there is conflict. I choose to forgive where there is maybe accusation that are wrong against me. So our choice is very important. And God has given us this power to choose. And so unfortunately there are consequences, but there are good consequences as well. For those who have chosen the Lord on this earth, the Lord says, come and stay with me, be with me. And we don't know at this point, some people are very upset sometimes when we speak of, you know, the eternal destiny, hell, heaven. They're like, no, everyone will go to heaven because God is good. Yes, God is good. But we have to remember he has given us the power to choose, the will, the free will. We can choose him or not. And sometimes we don't know at which point God is speaking to the heart of people, even on their deathbed, when they are in the coma, when they are completely somewhere else or unaware, God is still able to speak to their heart. So we cannot judge anyone and say, this person will go to hell and this person will go to heaven. So this we have to be careful with. And I think people rebel against the idea of like, how do you know, how does the church know who is going to hell or heaven? Well, we don't know and we may not judge. And I hope that we will be also found faithful when the Lord Jesus comes back, that we say, Lord, you know, I followed you, I walked with you, and not just, you know, did what I think was good and you never told me to do it. So we have to be also held accountable for our own ways with God. Dave, wanted to say something?
I wanted to say God is good and everybody, I mean, but the thing is, we also have to remember God is just.
Mm-hmm. That's a very God good. God is just. Yes.
Just God, and so not everybody's going to make that. But to be just, you have to separate the good and the bad.
So how would God be? That's a very good point, Deva. If God is just, you're right. He cannot allow the people who have been persecuting others to continue to persecute them in heaven. Does it make sense? I mean, he will protect.
Is heaven going to make it to heaven? If everybody's going to make it, is Hitler? If God is a just God, then Hitler has to take responsibility for it.
Right.
He's also a merciful God.
He's also
because
merciful.
We can never talk about judgment without talking about mercy.
Yes.
Because judgment is something that we earn, mm-hmm. but mercy is something we're given. And those are two, and we never know how God's going to combine those two in our life. And I think, it's part of his character of love. So we don't know. We will be surprised. I think the people will find,
yes.
And the people we will not find.
Mm.
I think
those are good points,
mercy,
both of you.
Mm. I think mercy. With mercy, you go with also like prevenient grace. You have to receive it. Some people don't want to receive mercy. Okay, mm-hmm. And they've proven that by what they've done and how they. By what they've not received. And so mercy is a free gift, mm-hmm. but you have to take it.
And both are, they are both aspects of God's love, mercy and judgment. They are both important to keep together. And that's why we cannot even earn heaven and say, I've been good all my life, you know. It's up to the end. We have to walk daily. We have to walk faithfully day by day. We have to choose God day by day. So to be a Christian is actually, it's not an easy thing. When we become new Christians, as new Christians, sometimes we think, you know, that's it, I arrived. But it's the beginning of the adventure, and it's a great adventure. And by God's grace, we are not left alone. The Holy Spirit is with us all the way along, because he promised the Holy Spirit will be with us until the Lord Jesus said, sorry, he will be with us until the end of the age. And the Holy Spirit will be our teacher in all things.
It's interesting, on the floor where we're living over here, there's a sign on the wall that says, it's not about the destiny, it's about the journey. And I've struggled with that every day. I'm going, wait a second. And this shows that it's about both. You know, you better know where you're going in order to,
yes.
for it to be about the journey.
Kuni Ma said, you better know your destiny and you better know where you're going. So it's both the destiny and the journey.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Thank you for all the contributions. Stefan?
It's a very important point. If you look for how many make it to heaven, how many go to hell, you have two verses to remember. One which says, many are called, but few are chosen. Which means if you want proportion, there are more people going to hell than going to heaven. Or, large is the road that leads to perdition, and many take it. And narrow is the one leading to life, and few take it. That's a painful reality we have to remember. Today we tend to be nice guys, saying everyone will make it to heaven now. And if you speak of eternal life, a key verse about that is eternal life, you find in John chapter 17, verse 3, is to know the Father and the one whom he has sent, Jesus Christ. Which kind of knowledge do you think? Intellectual knowledge?
Both.
Heart knowledge, knowing who he is and walking with him. Which means eternal life is if we walk with Christ today, we are already walking in the eternal life. And we are ready to die, we have nothing to fear. If we don't walk with God today, we are in trouble. So the way we journey is defining where we will end up. A Nazarene theologian wrote a book called The True Security, The True and the False Security. It was Perkiser, I don't know if you heard of Perkiser, would say, in the Bible, you never see he has believed, past tense, therefore is saved. Faith is always in the present. It's your present heart attitude which is the security. Our heart relationship with God. It's a security, a real one. But it's not something you have earned yesterday. It's something you live today. Does it make sense?
Thank you very much. I guess it could be a conclusion, but we have to review in our 2 points. But so together, sorry, I'm still sitting. Together, as we have been interacting, and you know, sharing. There was not like, oh, this is an excellent student, and this is a bad student. As we, like, oh, but together we have been sharing our knowledge of the Lord, of Scripture, of theological truths, principles, experience, and this has been. It has made this graphic more rich than just looking at it by ourselves, you know. We have been walking together, we have been telling a story about it, and we have been telling the story together, actually, which is really, I think, powerful, because we remember, like we remember Colleen saying, it's not about the destination, it's a journey, but it's also a destination at the same time, because 16 says there is a destination. And 10 says there is a destination as well, right? But it's both at the same time. And so I hope you can use this tool the way you would like to use it. You can go as deep as you want, but it's always good to remember, where are you in this journey? To always ask yourself the question. Who is ready to, okay, let us maybe review 15 and 16, and then we can take a break. okay, 15, second coming of Christ. 15,
second coming of Christ.
And 16,
sorry,
16, resurrection, judgments,
and destiny.
So resurrection, the person resurrected, I mean, going up to heaven, appearing before the Lord. Judgment, the gavel, and then two directions, destiny, there is the gates of heaven or eternal judgment, the flames. Mm-hmm. Flames of hell. So 16, resurrection, judgment, destiny. Who would like to say 15, 16 without looking? Who's ready for that? You'd like? Would like to try? Yeah? You can ask help for someone.
Super.
can think of destination. It's not the same word, but it's also like destiny. You can think of destiny. Our destination is to be with God, right?
Good
destiny. Good job. Thank you for being courageous. So you can ask someone now. Teacher Hannah, who would you can ask anything. From 1 to 16, you can ask 16, you can ask 3.